Morning. Today's daf increases is Yud Ches. We start this morning with a new parak on the bottom, very bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Our topic in this parak is going to be Hashem Tolui. After having covered three prakim in the Masechta, so you can obviously see the parak in the Masechta is interested in talking about karbanos specifically that come out of a case of being a shogeg. Person unintentionally violates an Issur Karis in the Torah, so he brings a carbon chatas. The Torah introduces us to an interesting carbon at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Parakeh, I'm going to start in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vim Nefesh. The Torah says that if a person, kisechta, ve'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem, he violates one of the mitzvos Hashem asher lo se'asena, which is a lav, not just any lav, but ones in which we're talking about, ve'lo yada, but he wasn't sure, ve'ashem, and he's guilty, ve'nasa avano. So as we're going to see over the course of this morning, the Torah here is introducing us to an idea that a person violated a chatzas, maybe. And v'hevi ayol tamim min hatzon be'erkecha la'asham el ha'kohen. So he's going to bring an ayol, he's going to bring a ram, and it'll represent the karban asham. V'chiper alav ha'kohen, and the kohen's going to do the avodah for him, al shigas asher shagag, for the shogeg. V'hu lo yada, and the Torah again repeats, and he wasn't sure, v'nis lachlo, and this will provide a kapar for him. Hashem who? Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. So it is a carbon Hashem. So the Torah here introduces us to an Hashem, which from this point we're going to be referring to the Hashem Talui. Hashem Talui is the idea that a person violated an Isser Karis, but he's not sure if he violated an Isser Karis. What does that mean? So the classic example, I'll give you the first example we're going to see in the Mishnah, is that he's suffik, in achal, chelev asafik lo achal. So there's a possibility that he ate chalev, there's a possibility that he did not eat chalev. Meaning, it's a 50-50 chance. And the example will become even more clear as we go through our Mishnah and as we go through the beginning of our Masechta. And under those circumstances, the Torah says, okay, so if you possibly violate an Isser, so a carbon is going to be brought. Now let's consider, if you definitely violated the Isser, you did so b'shogeg, you did so inadvertently, so you bring a carbon chatas. So this carbon over here, what is it doing? What is it accomplishing? What if you discover at a later point in time that you definitely violated the Isser? Does that mean now that you brought a carbon Hashem that you don't have to bring carbon chatos? Yes. So as we're going to learn together, no, once you definitively find out that you did it, you are going to have to bring a carbon chatos. So I will show you the Rashi a little bit later on this morning, where Rashi teaches us, it's Rashi coming up in the Gemara, that Rashi says that this is a stopgap measure. The purpose of this carbon is basically to put you in a position where, because that you possibly violated an Isser Kares, so this will just be a way of temporarily resolving the issue until you learn otherwise. Now, again, there are two different possibilities. You either did violate the Isser or you didn't. If you didn't violate the Isser, so then you're good. You brought the carbon ashram, the ashram tali, as you were required, and now you don't need any more kapara. If you definitively did violate the Isser, if you come discover that later, so you bring a carbon chatzis in the interim, so this ashram tali will hold you in abeyance until you know better. That is that's a broad overview of our parak. Let's begin. Mishnah starts off on the very bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Safik achal chelo safik lo achal. So it's possible you ate, possible you didn't eat. It's a doubt. It's a case of doubt. Va'afilo achal safik yesh bo kishir v'safik ein bo. Another manifestation of this safik is, let's say you know you ate chelev, but in order to be chayv a carbon, you have to eat a kezayis. And not only that, but we even learned earlier in our Masech that it has to be kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. And you don't know if you ate the shear. Shuman v'chelo l'fanav. Then the Mishnah gives other examples. Now, it could very well be that this is just a perish on the heading of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to discuss that, so a preview of coming attractions. Shuman v'chelo l'fanav. Let's say you have two pieces of fat in front of you. You have shuman, you have chelov. At this point, I'm assuming you know, but I'll just spell it out. Chelev is the forbidden fats of an animal. Shuman are the permitted fats of an animal. The fats that exist within the muscle of the animal, the muscular fats, you know, the ones that are delicious. So that obviously, shuman, that is permissible. Chelev, so those are the hard fats that exist around various organs of the animal. You can literally just peel the chelev right off the organ. So these chalavim, these chelevs, are aser, and that incurs the Isser Karis. So you have two pieces in front of you, and maybe because of the way they were prepared or whatever the case is, whatever, you got confused. You didn't know which one was which, and you ate one of the two pieces. So shuman v'chelo l'fanav v'achal echan mehem. V'einu yodea is a mehen. Achal. And you don't know which one you ate. As a result of that, you're going to have to bring your Hashem Talui. Isha v'achosu imo. A case which, not pleasant to imagine, but it's the same construct. is that, let's say, in the house, you have your wife and you have your sister. The man had relations with one of these women. He didn't know which one of the women he had relations with. And so this is, once again, a case of a possible Issur Kares. Obviously, having relations with one's sister is an Issur Kares. With one's wife is not an Issur Kares. In fact, it's a mitzvah. He's not sure which one. Yes, I understand there are a lot of follow-up questions. Why doesn't he just simply ask? Why don't we ask? Why doesn't Beis Din ask which one, ask the women? Okay, so I understand. The case is easy to say over, really more challenging to construct, but it's the same basic idea. Shabbos v'yom chol, v'asa malacha me'echad mehem. Let's say it's Shabbos and possibly a weekday. We have another word for that. We call that Bein HaShemashos. Seemingly, the Mishnah over here is describing Bein HaShemashos. And he does malacha during this period of time. Ve'ein yodeh be'ezem ha'masa. But he's not sure if we're in the Bein HaShemashos that's more proximate to Shabbos, or the Bein HaShemashos that's more proximate to the weekday. Now, generally speaking, that's not how we look at Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos is kind of it's a mixed bag. It's both. But the Mishnah over here also puts this in the same category of, it's a suffix. Maybe Asham Talui, so under these circumstances, and any one of the examples that we just outlined, so he has to bring an Asham Talui. Kishim shim achal chela v'chela b'alam achal enu chayv alachatas achas. And now what we're going to learn is that the halachas of Asham Talui are going to be guided by the halachas that we know by Karban Chata. So for example, if you repeat the Isser again and again, I know this harkens back to the last week of Daf Yomi, but if you keep repeating the same Isser again and again definitively, so you bring one Chatas. So same thing is going to be true with the Asham Talui. The Achal Chela V'Chela Be'al Machas Eno Chayv El Chatas Achas Kain Alo Hoda Shalahen Eno Mevi Ela Asham Talui Echad. So just like for repeated violations in one halama is going to incur only one Karban Chatas obligation, the same thing is going to be true regarding the Asham Talui. Im Haisa Yediya Bein Tayim. Now with the Yediya separating the actions, so just like a yediyah is mechalik between chatas and chatas, so too a yediyah is going to be mechalik between Hashem Talui and Hashem Talui. Kishem she'achal chelav adam v'pikol v'noser behelam achas, chayav akol achas v'achas. Just like shemos are muchlakim, if they are different isurim, even if it's behelam achas, you have to bring a carbon for each isur. So, kach alohodesh la mevi Asham Talui ako achas vachas. And of course, the same thing is going to be true regarding the Asham Talui as well. Good. So, what we have in front of us in the Mishnah are two very basic points. One, what would bring about the requirement to bring an Asham Talui? And two, the Asham Talui behaves very much like the Karban Chatas. Itmar. The Gemara starts off a discussion that really will take us through the rest of
the case has to be on the volume. Couldn't be anything else.
In terms of what? In terms of...
He does not yet a volume.
Yeah, in other words, right, you have to have a shear.
That's the only thing it could be, though. Because the other one, for definitely, they are also, all of them are also, you know, blood, finkle, nose, that's sure.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. In other words, what...
God it could be. If he
right, with Dom, what can you confuse Dom with? Okay, I could...
There's nothing to do. What's the difference?
I'm just thinking on the fly. In other words, what about Dam Dugim? You have two Damim in front of you. One is
here we're talking about the Dam.
Okay. So you have Dam Dugim and you have Dam Behema. Okay. Dam Dugim is okay. Nosar is just a piece of meat. That's fine. So you have Nosar and you have another piece of meat. Okay.
Okay.
Itmar. Gemara takes us now through a discussion that's going to be carrying us through the rest of today's daf almost entirely, and that is the following. We learn now that in a case of suffix, so you have to bring a Karban Asham Talui. So what is a case of suffix? Well, we already said in our Mishnah, is that you have a piece of chilev and you have a piece of shuman in front of you, you ate one of the two, and now you knew the facts that there were two pieces in front of you, and you ate one of those two pieces. What would be another case of suffix? Well, let's say there was one piece in front of you, and you just weren't sure what its identity. That also would be a case of suffix, right? And so what we're going to be seeing over the course of the Gemara today, in a lengthy discussion, is that maybe when it comes to the Asham Talui requirement, it has to be a specific scenario in which there's Isser and there's Heter. From this, we're going to describe this as Shtei Chatichos. Or the possibilities, no, not necessarily. Maybe even if it's just one piece and we just simply aren't sure of its identity. So it could be also shir. Yeah, no, understood.
That's the second case in the Mishnah.
Okay, agreed. Rav Asi Amar, so the Gemara starts off the discussion and debate. Rav Asi Amar Chaticha Chashaninu Safik Shel Chela Safik Shel Shuman. So according to Rav Asi, so the case of the Mishnah or the case of the requirement of Vashon Talu could be even in a case of Chaticha Achas. It's one piece, and you simply don't know what the piece was. You're unsure. Could have been Chelev, could have been Shuman. And you ate it, and now you are in a state of suffix, whether or not you violate an Issacharis. So according to Rav Asi, you have to bring an Ashram Talui. And Chir Barav disagrees. Chir Barav Amar Chaticha Mishtei Chatich, Oshanino. So the and Chir Barav says that the only scenario in which you are going to be required to bring an Ashram Talui is only Chaticha Mishtei Chatichos. It has to be two pieces. Well, one piece is Chelev and the other piece is Shuman, and you ate one of the two, and now you don't know which one you ate. Now, of course, by the way, I have an easy solution to this problem. Look at the other piece. If you can identify what the other piece is, so then you should be fine. With the assumption that one was Shuman and one was Chelev, and you ate one of the two, and you weren't sure which one you ate, so look at the other piece. You have to say that currently the other piece is unavailable. But nevertheless, if we start off with two pieces in front of you, ain't one of the two, then and only then, according to Chir Barav, are you bringing an Ashram Talui.
What does he do with the other case?
In other words, in the other case, you are not going to be required to bring an Ashram Talui. In the other case, you should have been more careful, and for sure your behavior is not condoned, and you will not gain and you will not gain favor, but there's no requirement of Ashram Talui. Okay? So, B'mai Kamifligi, so the Gemara now is going to give a hesber in terms of what the distinction is between the Amoraim. Rav Asi Sava Yesh Eim Lemesaris. Rav Asi says, pay careful attention to the way the pasuk teaches us, and specifically the way it's written. So, mitzvahs ksiv. The Torah says the word mitzvahs. Now, I read the pasukim in the beginning of Shir today. The pasuk says, v'im nefesh ki secheta v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem. Now, I pronounced it in mitzvos because that's how it's punctuated. And when the Baal Kori reads it, he's going to read it with the word by pronouncing it as mitzvos. Nevertheless, it's not written mem tzadi vav vav tuf. It's written with only one vav. It could be pronounced mitzvas. And according to Rav Asi, more emphasis is going to be placed on the way it's spelled as opposed to the way it's pronounced. And since it's written with only one vav, mitzvas, meaning it's only one entity, it's one item. V'chir barav amar yesh eim lemikra. Now, v'chir barav says is that, no, what you have to pay more attention to and has more significance is the way it's pronounced. What he calls that the mikra, in other words, the way you read it in shul. And mitzvos karinan. And it's read mitzvos, which means that there are two entities, i.e., shtei chatichos. This machlokus of whether or not Yeshem Lemikra or Yeshem Lemesaris, you go all the way back to the beginning of Sanhedrin, and the Gemara spent a lot of time on this discussion of which one carries more significance. Obviously, they're both important. The way they're both part of our Mesorah. It's just a question of which one is going to be dictating the halacha. And so the Gemara now launches into a series of questions. One, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. So the Mishnah here gives us an example. Look carefully at the Mishnah's example. Chelev v'shuman. There are two pieces in front of him. So my love, so that means that is the prototype example. So if that's the prototype example, so when you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, can't you imagine that that's what the Mishnah meant? There were two pieces in front of you? So Amalei Rav Lo Teze Basar Ipcha. You don't have to go in that direction, right? You don't have to follow it, but rather you can go in the exact reverse course. Meaning, if you start from the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah just simply says, if you turn back to the first words of the Mishnah, safek achal chelav safek lo achal. Could very well be that that's talking about a case where it's one chaticha. The next case in the Mishnah, which you see on the top of our amud, is where it's shtei chatichos. And it could very well be the Mishnah gives us two examples. Ihachi yesh lamar, I'm sorry, resha bechaticha achas. Ihachi yesh lamar chaticha achas mechayv shtei chatichos richel ameymar. So then the Gemara asks its classic question, well, if I know that I'm required to bring an Ashram Talui with chaticha achas, isn't shtei chatichos at this point in time obvious? So zuvein tzarech lameymar zu. So the Gemara says, okay, but stylistically, we see this in the Mishnah all the time. This is a accepted style of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah gives you the bigger Chiddush, and then once you know the bigger Chiddush, so then, I don't even need to tell you this, but I'll tell it to you anyway. So that's the classic style of the Mishnah. That doesn't bother me. Now, according to Chiya Bar Rav, who said that the Mishnah, both in the Reish and the Sefer, are talking about Shtei Chatichos, so then the Mishnah is redundant, isn't it? So the Gemara says, no, Perusha Kamefarish. So the Gemara says that, no, the way the Mishnah could be operating is that first it gives the heading, and then it says, okay, now that I gave you the heading, let me explain. So, Safik Achal Chelev, Safik Lo Achal, maybe Hashem Tolei Ketzad. So this is the way to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah first gives us the concept, and then gives us an explanation of that. Okay. So, what do we have right now in our Gemara, Amachlokis Amoraim, whether or not the Ashram Talu is going to be required only in the case of Shtei Chatichos, or it's also going to be required even in the case of Chaticha Achas. What the Gemara now will do for the next Amud is present the Halacha of Rav in the name of three separate Amoraim. Right, preview of coming attractions. It's going to be Rav Yehuda that you see coming up right now. It's then going to be... Sorry, I have it here. Here it is. A little bit closer to the bottom of the Amud. It's going to be now in our Gemara. We have the words Rav Chiya Amarav, but as I'm going to note when we get there, it's going to probably be corrected to Rav Zera. Should be corrected to Rav Zera. That will be the second time, and then the third time is on the top of the next Amud. On Yud Chesem and Aleph, it's going to be Amarav Nachman Amarav Abaravua Amarav. Okay, and we'll call that Rav Nachman. Okay, so three Amaraim, each one of them presenting the position of Rav. Right, I think it's fair to say that all of them are students of Rav. Rav Yehuda, we know, classically was a student of Rav. Rav Nachman, more student of Shmuel than that of Rav. And then the middle one, well, we have Chiya, well, probably better to be corrected to Rabbi Zera. Although Rav did have a son by the name of Chiya, Chiya Bar Rav. So, whatever the case is, the construct of the upcoming Gemara is that we're going to have three Amoraim, and each one of them is going to be quoting Rav. All three of them are going to be in agreement that in order to be Chayav the Karban Hashem Talu, there has to be Shtei Chatichos. That is where the common denominator of all three opinions are. So then why are they broken down to three different statements of Rav? The reason why you need Shtei Chatichos, they're going to differ one from the other. So there are going to be slight differentiations between the Amoraim, and the Gemara at the end, even in the middle as well, is going to give us nafkaminas between the various positions that are given within Rav. Let's start the Gemara. Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So a person has two pieces, one is shuman, the other is chelev. So he ate one of the two pieces, he doesn't know which one he ate, he's going to be chayev and Hashem talui. But if it's one piece and he's just simply unsure in terms of whether or not the piece is chelev or shuman, so the achlan, he ate it, that one piece, pater. He's going to be exempt from the karban Hashem talui. Okay. I'm a Rav, my taima the Rav. So what is the reason behind Rav? So Damar Krum. Now, previously we said it's Yesh Eim Lemikra, but now the Gemara is going to be offering more of a Svara, not just a Drasha, but a Svara. Amar Krum, Asachas Mikol Mitzvos Hashem B'Shkaga, Ad She Yishageg, sorry, Ad She, right, Ad She Yishgog B'Shtayim. So Mitzvos Ksiv, Mitzvos Karinan. So here Rava, basically, also operates with kind of a drasha, very similar to what we said earlier, Yeshem LaMikra, but the way he phrases it is based on the fact that he has to be shogeg in one of two pieces, because it says mitzvos. Okay, so basically it comes out to what we said earlier, it's based on the way the pasuk is pronounced. Eisvei Abaye. So on this now, the Gemara is going to be asking three successive questions. These three successive questions we're going to be seeing again and again. So hopefully I'll explain it well the first time, and then each subsequent time I'm just going to read it, right? And then you can always go back to this point, right? The 90 minute mark, if you will. So Eitzvei Abaye asks the following: Rabbi Eliezer Amar Koi. Now let's say you eat the chelev of a koi. Koi is a species of animal. Now some are of the opinion that it's a birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own independent entity. Categorically, it's not a behemoth, it's not a chaya. But let's assume right now that a koi is a behemoth, it's a chaya, but we're just not sure which one. Now that's of course a really important question, whether an animal is a behemoth or whether it files under the category of chaya. There are two basic differences between a behemoth and a chaya in terms of a halacha. In terms of identification, categorization, a behemoth is a domestic animal, one that you can breed and herd, and those are the ones that are brought as karbanos. And when it comes to Echaya, they're the wild animals. They're out in the forest. Now, there are kosher, non-kosher of Behema, and there are kosher, non-kosher of Chaya. What are the Simanim? The Gemara in Chulin taught us that the Simanim are the same for both of them, meaning it has to be Malagera and Marfis Parsa. Split hooves and choose its cut. So, the Gemara over here says that, let's say I ate the chalav of Koi. And Koi is that animal where I'm not sure whether it's a Behema or whether it's a Chaya. So, Chayavim Alav Ashem Talay. So, you have to bring an Ashem Talay. Now, just by its definition, it's a suffix. This is not a case of shtechatichos. This is a case where I'm eating the piece of chalav of one animal. I just don't know where this animal files under. Does it file under chalav or does it file under chaya? By the way, I didn't articulate the differences between chalav and chaya. Sorry, it's not too late. When it comes to a behema, chalav a behema, that's an isser kares. The chalav of a chaya, mutar legamrei. That's one difference between the two. The other difference is that kisui adam. Chaya, there's a mitzvah of kisui adam. Behema, no mitzvah of kisui adam. Good. So now I ate the chalav of the koi, and now what? So according to the Brisa, according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to bring an Hashem Talui. This is chaticha achas, it's not shtei chatichos. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar sover yeshem lamasaras, mitzvas ksiv. So in defense, the Gemara says, okay. So Rabbi Elazar subscribes to the viewpoint, yesh aim lemisaris. And since the Torah says, it's not pronounced, but it actually writes out mitzvahs, singular, so it's chaticha achas. Okay, but that doesn't mean we have to subscribe to that position, because we could take the other side of yesh aim le mikra. Eitzvei, the Gemara asks the second question. Sefek ben tisha l'rishon o ben shiva la'achron. Yotzi v'avlad kasher. V'chai basham toloi. This case over here deals with the following scenario. Husband died, Rachmanus, and left her childless. At this point in time, now she has a mitzvah of yibum with the surviving brother. But not yet. Because it could very well be that she was impregnated by her husband before she died. So what does she need to do before yibum is done? She has to wait 3 months to see whether or not, in fact, her late husband impregnated her. Now, if by 3 months there is no evidence of pregnancy, so now the mitzvah of yibum will be performed. Okay. Unfortunately, what happened in this scenario, she did not wait the requisite 3 months. 2 months later, she married her brother-in-law to do the mitzvah of Yibum. 7 months later, a baby was born. So now, the problem, of course, is that we have a very serious dilemma, because there are two very distinct possibilities. One is that this is the product of the mitzvah of Yibum. But the other possibility is that this was the late husband's baby. And so now those two possibilities are going to be the difference between whether he did a mitzvah or whether he violated the most serious avera of arayus. If this is his baby, so then he did the mitzvah of Yibum. If it's his late brother's baby, so then he violated the isser of Eishes Ish. Because in a case where there were children that were produced from the first marriage, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. If there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so now all that's left is the isser of Eishes Ish. This is a serious problem. And so therefore, what happens, as far as the child is concerned, the child is kasher lagamrei. Mima nafshach. Either way, either it was the product of the first husband, which means, of course, it was a totally sanctioned marriage, or it was the product of the second marriage, which was the mitzvah of Yibum. So the child's status is kasher lagamrei. However, the act of relations that existed between the surviving brother and the widow, so it could have been a mitzvah, it could have been an isser kares. This is a perfect scenario of suffek. But it's only chaticha achas, and yet the Braisa says that chayev ashem taloi. That now, the word chayev means he has to bring an ashem taloi. Presumably, they both have to bring a karban ashem taloi. In any event, what comes down over here is chaticha achas. So the Gemara says, hamani Rabbi Eliezer hi. So again, in defense, the Gemara says, okay, you're right, the Braisa over there says chaticha achas, but we just all learned together, just two lines earlier, that there is a Tana who says that you bring an Hashem Talit for Chaticha Achas. So what we'll just simply do is we'll take this Braisa and we'll align it with that Tana. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges with another Braisa. Nimsa Shalo, Tameim, V'chayav Mekarban. This is a Mishnah that we're going to be learning in Masechta Nida. It's going to be in the first parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah over there talks about how a man and a woman, a husband and wife, after they have relations, so they both wipe themselves after every act of relations. It is not the minhag nowadays. They did that back then, really for the purposes of Taharas, so that they could both make sure that they're both in a state of tahara, and that they can go into the Beis HaMikdash and eat carbon. Now, if a man discovers blood on his aver after having wiped himself, So now you know that obviously this blood occurred during Tashmish, and that means that he was Bol Anida. And that means then that he's Chayv HaKarban. Now he's Chayv HaKarban, why? He was a Shogeg? So the Gemara over there, Anida, discusses the question of how could that be considered a Shogeg? So the Gemara Anida explores that topic, and we'll wait until we get over there to discuss that in more detail. What if she discovers blood after the act of Tashmish? So now it's tricky. Because unlike him, where if he discovers blood on his aver, then absolutely, it's an absolute indication that the blood was there during Tashmish, because that's the only time that it could have gone on his aver, as opposed to her, where, because she's the producer of the dam, so therefore the dam could have been there during Tashmish, or it could have started after Tashmish. So what's the halacha? So the halacha, that's what the Mishnah here is discussing. Nimtzal shelo tameim v'chayav mekarben. So if he discovers blood on his cloth that he wiped himself with, so then we know for sure that it was during Tashmish. And a carbon is required. Al Shelah. So now if she discovers blood, so it depends how proximate was her wipe to the act of Tashmish. So if it's Osiyom, Osiyom probably is a Greek word, but it means immediately. Meaning so that immediately after Tashmish she wipes herself. So now we could say that the blood was there during Tashmish. And therefore, Tameim, they're both Tameim, v'chayav and b'karban. And they're also, they're going to be chayav a karban. Nimsa al-shalala achrizman, Tameim is suffik. If she wiped just a little bit afterwards, so now, possible. The possibility is that this blood was there during Tashmish, and so we'll call this now a suffik. Now, upiturim min a karban. Now, they don't have to bring a karban, but to clarify, they don't have to bring a karban chatas. But, v'tani Allah, chayav mishum, Hashem Talui. So they don't have to bring a carbon chatas, but they do have to bring a carbon Hashem Talui, because this is a case of suffik. Now, is this a case of shtei chatichos, or is this chaticha achas? Clearly, this is a case of chaticha achas. So hamani Rabbi Eliezer hi. So again, the Gemara says, okay, so defensively what we'll say is, again, we'll do this every time. Well, this is going to be the last time we're doing it, but we'll do this every time. Every time we have a Tana who seems to say that you only need chaticha achas, well, we have a Tana who subscribes to that viewpoint, and this Brisa follows that viewpoint. Okay. What we've seen so far now is our first round of Rav saying that you need shtei chatichos. In our first round, it's presented to us by Rav Yehuda, explained to us by Rava, and basically what comes out is, why do I need shtei chatichos? Because of the drush in the Torah. Very similar to what we said above. Round two. Am Rabbi Chia, Am Rav. Now, probably we'll correct this to Rabbi Zera. And that correction, by the way, will be borne out by the Gemara as well. So it's Am Rabbi Zera, Am Rav. So again, the Ashram Talu is only in the case where Shtei Chatichos. One was Chelev and the other was Shuman. However, Chaticha, Safik Shuman, Safik Shuchelev, Achla Pater. But if it's just Chaticha, so then you're going to be Pater. Am Rabbi Zera, my time of the Rav. So here now, Rabbi Zera explains Rav. So now we're going to have a svara. And the svara is like this. You see, if it's shtei chatichos, so now the matter could be clarified. If it's chaticha achas, the matter can never be clarified. And why should that matter? So there's a really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Ef shel levar isuro, de asham talu eno ba ela lahagein min hayisurim. Okay, here's your Rashi. Right? Rashi is just in general really good because it explains the overarching purpose and mission of the Ashram Talui. And also Rashi is going to explain locally over here why it is so important that we have to be Mevarer Isuro, clarification of the Yisur. So Rashi writes that the purpose of Ashram Talui is Lahagim in the Yisurim Ad Shiodea Lo. Because the Ashram Talui is a stopgap measure. What's going to happen is that we're going to learn, hopefully, what he really did. But until that point in time, so here is a stopgap measure, bring the Ashram Talui. And once he learns definitively what happened. Now again, by the way, there are two possibilities. One possibility is we learn definitively that he ate Shuman. But the other possibility is that we learn definitively that he ate that he ate Chalev. So the purpose of the Ashram Talui is basically to hold the situation in abeyance until we learn definitively if, in fact, he ate chalev. Kizim mefarish beperek basra. Now, we're going to explore this idea on the final parak of our Masechta. Hilkach shtei chatichos v'achal achas v'nishara achas. So if there were two pieces and he ate one and the other piece is still there, efsher shiavol achas man baki, Shiaker imzu hanoseres shuman, vadai, chelev, achal, v'yavi chatas. So then what could happen is, and Rashi over here does a wonderful job illustrating what the scenario would look like. The remaining piece, it's just really unclear what it is. Meaning, I don't know what it is. Okay, but I'm not an expert. If we call in an expert, right, our expert witness, and say, do you know what this is? He looks at it and says, oh yeah, I know, of course. That's shuman. Oh, okay. And that means then the other piece was chelev. So, avachaticha achas v'achlo, e efshalavara. But if it's just one piece, so it will never lead to birur, and so therefore the Ashram Talui is under those circumstances not required. That's the svara behind behind Rav, as explained by Rabbi Zera. My ika bein taima de Rava le taima de Rabbi Zera. So the Gemara now already wants nafkaminas. Now you already know that there's a third one coming up, but even as we have already two, so let's create a nafkamina between the two. Ika bein now the Gemara says, yeah, there is going to be a nafkamina, and that's it, kazai somechsa. Let's say you have the following. Let's say you have one piece being the full shear of a kezias, and the second piece only being a half a kezias. Under those circumstances, I ate one of those two pieces. Is that going to qualify shtei chatichos? And the Gemara says, that's the nafkamina. Li Rava like a mitzvah zupater. Now for Rava, it doesn't qualify. Because remember, what was the key for Rava? The key was the drasha. It has to be mitzvos. You need two halachically significant pieces. Halachically significant is code for they both have a shear. So the only time you'd be chayv a karban asham, an asham talui, is where it's a kezais and a kezais. Le Rebbe Zera ashlavara isura. For Rebbe Zera, the whole function and purpose of having two pieces is for purpose of clarification. So if I had a kezais of one piece, even if the other piece is only half a kezais, but that's all I need for purposes of clarification. And so therefore, that would require the karban asham talui. Hvei the Gemara challenges. And here, I'm going to go real quick, because it's going to be the same challenges again. Because we've just established that you need shtei chatichos. Hvei Rabbi Yirmila, Rabbi Zer, Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Koi Chayavan Al-Chalba O'Asham Talui. What about the halacha of Koi, where that's chaticha achas? Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, Savar Lobi'in Lavari Yisuro. Okay, the Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, who obviously does not have this requirement of birur. Hvei the Gemara challenges again. Safik Ben Tish L'Rishon Ben Shiva L'Achron. Yosef Avlad Kasher V'Chayev B'Hashem Talui. What about the case of the Yavama, who married her Yavam only 2 months later, having a child 7 months later, where there the Brisa says that there's a requirement of Hashem Talui. So how many Rabbi Eliezer he? So the Gemara says, okay, but that's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Eisvei, Nimsa Al Shalos, Yom Tamei V'Chayev B'Karban, Nimsa Al Shalos, Achrizman Tamei Mitzafik, Pter Min HaKarban. What about the case of the woman who wiped herself post-bia with her husband and discovered the blood, but not she didn't wipe immediately afterwards, but only la'achar zman, a little bit afterwards, and tani ala chayav b'ashem talui, and the Braisa says that Hashem talui is required, and that's chaticha achas. So I'm money Rabbi Eliezer here, and again, the same defense, that's Rabbi Eliezer. That's round two. Round three. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abaravu, Amar Rav. So now, for a third and final time, we're going to have a position of Rav, but here it's going to be presented by Rav Nachman. So it has to be one of two pieces. I ate one of the two pieces. I don't know which are the two pieces I ate. Then I'm obligated to bring an Ashram Talui. But if it's one piece, under those circumstances, you'd be exempt. I'm Rav Nachman, my time of the Rav. So now Rav Nachman is going to explain the position behind Rav. So here the svar that he provides is kavias. When you have two pieces and one of them was chalev, we have now established that an iser is there. Now, I don't know if I ate that iser, but the requirement of the Ashram Talui is you need a kavias. It has to be established that it was there. Now, my ika bein ikva isura l'shi'i efshalavara isura. Ika beinayhu. So the Gemara, again now, looks for a nafkamina. Meaning this is a different reason than the one offered previously. And what subtle differences lie between the two? The Gemara explains. Kigon sha'ayilo fanav sheikha tichos achas shel chelev achas shel shuman. Uva uvikocham v'acha as rishona. Uva yisrael v'acha es ha'shnia. So the Gemara over here illustrates a beautiful difference between the two. Let's say you have two pieces. One was chelev and the other was shuman. Along comes a non-Jew and eats one of those two pieces. Now obviously, he's not bound by the iser. But that's not the point. The truth of the matter is it could have been a Jew as well. But the point over here is that somebody ate one of the two pieces. And then you go ahead and you eat the second piece. Are you chayv an ashram talui? So perfect. This is going to be a nafkamina. So lirav aleka mitzvos beina de achal Yisrael. So according to Rava, what do you need? You need mitzvos. That at the time when I ate one of the two, when I violated the possible iser, there were two possibilities. And so over here, at the time when I ate, there weren't two possibilities. So according to Rava, that's our first position. So then you would not be chayav karban hashem taloi. Li Rabbi Zera shalavarer isurei. Now according to Rabbi Zera, because there's only one piece remaining when you ate it, so was there a possibility of birur? There is no possibility of birur. And so therefore, you too would not bring an ashram talu according to Rabbi Zera. And however, Rav Nachman, ikvi yisura. But according to Rav Nachman, do you have a kviyas yisur? Yes, you do. Because at the time when the two pieces were there, one of them was definitively isur. And so therefore, you have a kviyas yisur. And that means that in such a scenario, according to Rav Nachman, you would be required to bring an ashram talu. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman. Oh, you know what's coming next? The three questions. So the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman from a Bryce. Rabbi Elazar Amar Koi Chayv Mal Chabo Ashram Talui. You eat the chelav of a koi, you are obligated to bring an Ashram Talui. So Rabbi Elazar Labai Kviyus Alisura. Fine. So the Gemara says it is just not a requirement of Rabbi Eliezer that you require Kviyus Isser. Eitzve, the Gemara challenges the second time. Safik Ben Tesla Rishon or Ben Zayin Lachron Yotzi Vavla Kashav Chayav Ashram Talui. So the case of Yibum, it's Chaticha Achas. And Hashem Talui is required to be brought. Hamani Rabbi Eliezer he. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll deflect. That Braisa goes going like Rabbi Eliezer. We don't go like Rabbi Eliezer. Eitzvei, a third challenge. Nimsal Shalot Tamein V'chayim V'karban. Nimsal Shalot Osiyom Tamein V'chayim V'karban. Nimsal Shalot Achrizman Tamein Misafik P'tur Min HaKarban. So she wipes herself a little bit after the act of relations with her husband. She discovers blood. So she doesn't have to bring Karban Chatas. However, V'tini Allah V'chayim V'Hashem Talui. But she is going to be required, and presumably he is as well, to bring a Karban Hashem Talui. So over here, this is Chaticha Achas. Ishtik. And then he was quiet when presented with this question. Now previously, we had an answer readily available. Over here, in the original presentation, he was quiet. Labasa Danafik Amr, my time alo Amr, lay, dahamani Rebbe Merhi. And then after he left, he said, oh, you know, here's what I should have said. It just wasn't quick enough. But what I should have said is that was the opinion of Rebbe Meir. The law by Kviyas Elisa, Rebbe Meir, does not require Kviyas Issa. Now, the obvious question, which hopefully you're all wondering, is why didn't he just simply say that Bryce is going like Rebbe Eliezer? Hold that thought. Well, you know, Rebbe Meir doesn't require Kviyas Issa. How do I know that? The Tanya, we learned in the following Bryce. Shochet Hashem Talui Bechutz. Let's say you shecht an Hashem Talui and you do so outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Is that a violation of Shchut Echutz? So Rebbe Meir Mechayev. So Rebbe Meir says yes. Even though it is only brought al Safek, nevertheless you're in violation of Shchut Echutz. Really?
It's still a carbon.
Ah, okay, good. That's good. That's exactly what Rebbe Meir would argue. It's still a carbon. And so even though it's only coming on the possibility, so therefore, I'm sorry, not therefore, notwithstanding, you're still going to be in violation of Shchut Echutz. V'chachamim potru. Now the Chachamim say that you're not violating Shchut Echutz because you don't know for sure if this is a carbon. Now the position of the Chachamim is super interesting, but we're not going to explore it. Sorry. It's because what's relevant to our discussion right now is the Shita of Reb Meir. Because Reb Meir says that it is considered carbon even though it's only coming out Safek. What do you mean it's only coming out Safek? Meaning that you ate the one piece that was there and you're not sure whether it was Shuman or Chelv, and still it's a carbon. So you see that Reb Meir does not require this Kviyas Issur. The question we've all been wondering. On the third challenge of the Osyom, of the man and woman who wipe after they had relations, why not just simply say that's going like Reb Eliezer? So the Gemara says, HaKamashmal de Reb Meir B'shitas Reb Eliezer Kai. So the Gemara says, okay, you could have said that, but here we got a bonus. What's our bonus? We now know that this is not just Shitas Rebbe Eliezer by itself. Rebbe Meir is in agreement with the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. Amar Rabba Baravua Amar Rav. Chaticha Safik Shochel Safik Shoshomen V'Achla Banala Machlokes Rebbe Eliezer V'Chachamim. So just kind of like a recap. If I ate a piece, maybe it's Chelev, maybe it's Shuman, I don't know. What is the requirement of bringing Hashem Talui? It's our Machlokes. L'Rebbe Eliezer my ear Yaki Achla Afilo Lo Achla Nami. Da'atnan. Now the Gemara says, now, fine, it's the Machlokes Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim as we've been describing for most of today's daf, since the beginning of the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara says, okay, you know, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it doesn't even have to be that much of a suffix. Why? Because of the following Mishnah. We will see this Mishnah coming up later in our Masechta. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Misnadev Adam Hashem Talui B'chol Yom. Rabbi Elazar has a really interesting shita when it comes to the Hashem Talui. You wake up in the morning. You know, nobody's perfect and I'm not perfect. Which, by the way, it's too true. So, and based on the fact that we are imperfect human beings, so there is a chance that at one point in time we did something wrong. Rabbi Eliezer says that you could wake up in the morning, go to the base of Mikdash and say, hey, here's my Ashram Talui. Okay, what'd you do? Well, I'm not sure. But you know what? I do breathe and, you know, I'm an imperfect human and chances are I did something. And Rabbi Eliezer says that qualifies as an Ashram Talui. And you could bring that. Misnadev Adam Ashram Talui B'chol Yom. The Gemara is now bothered because, not by the Shita, meaning it's a Shita. That's a Shita.
You know, there's nothing in front of you.
Right. That's exact perfect. So that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. Meaning, up until now, we've been assuming that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there has to be some at least tangible suffix. You had a piece in front of you. You ate and you know what that piece is. Over here, in terms of what triggers the requirement of an Hashem Talui, it could just simply be your creeping doubt that I didn't do good. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rabbi Elazar Aliba de Baba Ben Buta did not. So the Gemara says, well, it really depends how you say Rabbi Eliezer. Now, some are more liberal in how they say Rabbi Eliezer. Some say, hey, you woke up in the morning? Go ahead, go for it. Bring an Ashram Talui. But others do not say it exactly that way. Others say that Rabbi Eliezer is a little more liberal with the Ashram Talui, but not just simply, hey, you can bring it anytime you want. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, Baba Ben Buta, did not based on the following Mishnah. Ela Omrim Lo Hamtem Asher Tikanas LeBeis HaSafek. Now we're only getting a little excerpt of this Mishnah where we're asking the person, why don't you just wait a little bit until at least there's a chance for doubt. Now Rashi over here fills in all the details. We're describing somebody who just experienced Yom Kippur. Now this is an idea that's going to keep coming up again and again in our Perek. Yom Kippur basically serves as an Ashram Talui. Yom Kippur is in lieu of an Ashram Talui. Whatever an Ashram Talui can accomplish, Yom Kippur can accomplish as well. And so that means to say now that you just went through Yom Kippur. You know, there's a classic question that's always asked at the end of Yom Kippur. Because what do we do after Yom Kippur? And we are clean. Our entire slate has been cleaned. And then we launch into Shemona Esrei and Slach Lanu. Right? We're sinners. I mean, it's true we're sinners, but right now we're pretty good. So, okay, good. And I know, and I've heard responses to the question. Okay. He doesn't even have to get that far. Correct. Okay, good. So good. So Rashi points out that according to Bava Ben Buta, immediately after Yom Kippur, a person runs to the base of Mikdash to offer his Hashem Talui. Now, I know it's nighttime. I understand that. But you understand the basic idea. So we say to him, wait one second, my friend. Give it a moment, right? You're not Chayv at Hashem Talui right now. You just went through Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur totally expunged you from any requirement of bringing Hashem Talui. So that's the line. Hamtain actually tikanas the base of Safik. So wait a little bit. Now I don't know what a little bit means, an hour, 2 hours. But just wait a little bit and then you want to bring Hashem Talui, that's fine. So you see within this presentation of Rabbi Eliezer, so you need something to trigger off the Hashem Talui. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. The Gemara now is going to continue its discussion of Hashem Talui and what is going to be the trigger for bringing the Hashem Talui. The Gemara brings a Braisa. The two pieces in front of him, one was Shuman, the other was Chalef. A Jew comes along and eats the first piece. And a non-Jew eats the second piece. Chayef. The Jew is going to be required to bring an Hashem Talui because there were two of them. And this fills in, and in other words, if you've charted out the three ways we presented the Shita of Rav, this will get a check for every one of the three. Because you have mitzvos, you have an opportunity for beer at the time when you ate it, even though, of course, after the guy ate it, there is no chance of beer at that point in time. But when you ate it, at least there was a possibility of beer. And also, yes, certainly a kviyas iser. Okay, so. It doesn't matter who ate the second piece. It could be a non-Jew, it could be a dog, it could be a raven. Okay, the halacha would be the same.
It's a Jew who eats the second one.
We'll get there. Okay, good question. Let's reverse orders. Let's say the non-Jew ate the first piece. And then the Jew comes and eats the second piece. Pater. the Rebbe Mechayev. So we have a Machlokes HaTanayim, whether or not you're required to bring an Hashem Talui. Tanakama says you're Pater. And we can give a host of Svaras. Now, in other words, we're guarded now. We're girded with a whole bunch of Svaras in terms of why you would be Pater. There's no Kviya Sisser. Mm-hmm. When you ate the piece, oh, I'm sorry, there was a Kviya Sisser. There's no chance of Birur. You don't have mitzvos. Okay. And Rebbe says that you're going to be Chayev, and Rebbe presumably is of the opinion you don't need Birur. You don't need Kviya Sisser. You don't need mitzvos. Achal es rishon b'shogeg v'ashnia b'meizid. Let's say the first piece was eaten, but in a state of shogeg, and the second piece, or for whatever reason, you had a change of heart, your attitude went bad, and you're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to eat the second piece. So chayev, you're going to be chayev for nashan talui, because although you soured a little bit with that second piece, but when you ate the first piece, you did so in a way that would require you for nashan talui.
We need the second one, and then it's the chatas for sure. No,
the chatas is only when you definitively violate an avera.
It's the same Jew who ate
the
first.
Oh, I see. You're suggesting that it's the same Jew.
Is it the same Jew?
Not necessarily.
It sounds like.
I hear your point. Right. I assume it's somebody else.
Okay.
The harishon b'shogeg v'ashnia b'meizid chayev. Harishona b'meizid v'ashnia b'shogeg. Let's say you ate the first piece and you did so b'mezid. So that's certainly not going to elicit a carbon asham. Doing something b'mezid, there's no carbon requirement. And now the only question becomes, there's one piece remaining. And you ate that one remaining piece. Are you chayv an asham talui? So again, it goes back to whether or not you subscribe to the shtei chatichos rule or chaticha achas. So here the Tanakhama says pater, because he obviously subscribes to the Sheikh Hatichos principle. And Rebbe Mechayev, and Rebbe says you're going to be Chayev because Rebbe holds, you don't need Sheikh Hatichos. Chaticha Achas would bring about a requirement. Achos Shem B'mezid, if I eat both B'mezid, Pater, you do not bring a carbon. Miklum. Shem B'shogeg, if you ate both pieces B'shogeg, Shnem Chayavim, the two of them are going to be Chayev. All right, Phil, this is where it's pretty clear that we're talking about two different people. So if two people ate the two pieces B'shogeg, they're both going to be Chayev. Now let's think about it. The first person is going to be chayev because there were two pieces there. What about the second person?
One piece.
So there was only one piece there for that second person. So if I don't have a requirement of sheikh hatichos, so then you're fine, you're comfortable. But we've been learning in the Braisa that that's the sheet of Rebbe. But the Tanakama of our Braisa says that you do need sheikh hatichos. So this last psak of this particular Braisa, it's confusing because this Braisa just shared with us that if it is in fact two chatichos, and they were eaten by two different people, both b'shogeg. First one brings an asham talui, we understand. The second brings an asham talui, we don't understand. And the Gemara is going to give an explanation. Lo min hadin, Gemara says very interestingly, you know it's not the letter of the law that the second person brings an asham talui. El shim ata omer pater kavata terishon b'chatas. However, under the circumstances, if now you're the casual observer, and you're saying, wow, what a curiosity. Right, the second person brought nothing, so and the first person now should bring what? An asham talui? Nah, I think the first person should bring a carbon chatas, and he'll be so confused by the circumstances. So therefore, each one of them is going to bring an asham talui. So the Gemara says, I'm still confused. Umanu, e Rebbe menadin menadinu. So look, if the last psak is going according to the opinion of Rebbe, where you only need chaticha achas, so then they both bring an asham talui, not for any kind of extra measure, but because that's the halacha. But assuming that the last psak is going like the chachamim, so look, the first one brings an asham talui, I get it. Okay, just give me 1 second. But the second person now bringing an asham talui because of perception, wait 1 second. There's no requirement for the second person to bring the asham talui. And you're telling me because of the misperception that's going to result, I'm not going to bring chulin into the azara because of a misperception, right? So I'm Rav Ashi, Rav Elazar. The Gemara is going to say. Gemara is going to say a pshat. So the Gemara is going to say, I'm Rav Ashi, Rabbi Elazar. Damar mesad devad amashato b'chol yom hilka chamrin alei aisi asham talui v'asnei. So the Gemara says, look, this brisa is in line with Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar, as we learned already, but now we get to repeat again. So his requirement of Nashim Talui doesn't need anything. In other words, you can be misnadev at Nashim Talui. So for our second person, we'll say to him, look, You may not be required to bring an Hashem Talui, but you can volunteer an Hashem Talui. So here's what I'll tell you. Bring the Hashem Talui and make the following stipulation. So look, if the first one ate Shuman and I'm now eating Chalev, but again, I may have eaten Chalev, we don't know for sure, but if that possibility exists, so then fine. So then this is going to be my Hashem Talui. V'ilau lehavin edava. But if I didn't eat the Chalev and I ate the Shuman, okay, so I'm bringing Hashem Talui, but it'll serve as an edava, because this particular brisa subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer. I'm sorry.
In that case, if they both bring together Kavan Chatat with the condition that they have one didn't that, then the other one. So why isn't that?
So bring one Hashem Talui.
Yeah,
okay, good. Oh, okay, excellent.
So one Kavan Chatat.
Right.
And they say, if it's mine, then it's mine.
Right.
If it's his.
Right.
It's like the
so I'll go back. Right. I really appreciate the question. I'll go back to what Rashi said, and I read the Rashi earlier, in terms of the purpose of the Hashem Talui. Purpose of the Hashem Talui is to hold you in abeyance until you know definitively. That's true for both of them.
Right.
Meaning either one of them could have been eating the chalev. So on the fact that I now am looking at a possible Issur Kares, again, it's shogi, so it's not Kares. But I'm looking at a possible Karban Chatas, so what's going to hold me over, because I can't bring the Chatas now. What will hold me over is Yashem Talui. They both want that holdover. They both want the Haganah.
Between the two of them, they certainly, one of them definitely is Karban Chatas.
I understand
right.
That, but my answer
and
still...
And there's, since there's nothing left for them to verify they both eat both pieces, then there's really no way out.
I'm with you, but again, I'm looking at it from the purpose of the Hashem Talui. The purpose of the Hashem Talui is to protect you until you bring a Karban Chatas. Either one of them may be in a position to definitively bring a Karban Chatas. They both want that protection. Okay.
Can two people bring one Hashem Talui? That's really the question. You know, Bishutas.
Chatas, you for sure can't, and Hashem Talui, I'd say also same thing, you can't.
Yeah.
Okay, Tana Rabbanan, let's go further. Achal Safik Chelev V'Nodalo. Safik Chelev V'Nodalo. So a person eats possible Chelev and then was made aware of it, and he repeated. So Rabbi Omer Ani Kishem Shemevi Chatas Kol Achas V'Achas Kach Mevi Hashem Talui Kol Achas V'Achas. So Rabbi's position is you're going to have to bring two Hashem Taluis because the properties of a Karban Chatas are going to be taken and brought over to Hashem Talui.
Mm-hmm.
Just like by Karban Chatas, the Yedi is going to be Mechalik, so too over here, a Yedi is going to be Mechalik between Hashem Talui's. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armim, Ein Mevi, Ela Hashem Talui Echad.
Mm-hmm.
So these Tanayim disagree, and they say only one Hashem Talui, even if it's for multiple acts. Shenemar Ashigas Asher Shagag, Afila Ashigagos Harbei, Einu Chayv Ela Achas. And they have a drasha, right, from the psukim that we read in the beginning of Shir this morning, that the extra language of al shigagaso asher shagag, even for multiple shagagos, you bring only one Hashem Talui. Am Rebbe Zera Kanchan a Rebbe Yedio Safik Mechalkos Lechatos. Okay. And now, we're going to transition to a new discussion. I'll start the discussion this morning, but this will continue. Into tomorrow's daf. But let's start the discussion right now. And that is the following. We know that when it comes to a Karban Chatas, the idea is mechalik. You did something that required a Karban Chatas, right? You ate chalev, definitive chalev. And then you were aware, I ate chalev, I shouldn't have done that, right? I forgot, right? Whatever the shogig was, you lapsed. But then you become aware. Now you lapse again and you eat again. So there, the idea is going to be mechalik. It's going to divide the two actions. You bring two Karban Chatos. Over here, the question that stands and will be discussed and debated is the following. What if the idea is Yedia Safik? Meaning, what is knowledge? Knowledge is that I know that I did something. Can knowledge also be I may have done something? Meaning, what the Gemara describes as Yedia Safik. Hey, you know, you possibly ate Chalev. Is that called Yedia? And is that going to divide? And so the Gemara says, that's what we are exploring now. That's exactly our discussion. Rabbi Zera says, Kanshana Rabbi Yedia Safik, Mechalkos Echatas. That a Yedia Safik is going to divide. And not only is it going to divide for Hashem Talui, it would even divide for Chatas as well. That sounds strange, but consider. You ate Chalev, and someone comes over to you and says, I think you ate Chalev. I'm not sure if you did. Is that Yedia, that's called Yedia Safik, is that going to now separate that act of eating and a subsequent act as eating as well. Yediyas Vadai for sure is going to divide. But what about Yediyas Safek? Rav Amar in Yediyas Safek Mechalkos Achatos. And Rav says, no, I fundamentally disagree. The only Yediyah that's going to separate one act and another is Yediyas Vadai, not a Yediyas Safek. Elahachi Kitani. And so what about the Brisa we just learned? So we'll say the Pshat is like this. Kishem Shem Haisa Lo Yediyah Vadai Mevi Chatos Akol Achas Vachas. The contrast or comparison, not contrast, but comparison between Chatos and Hashem Talui is for a Chatos, just like a Yediyah Vadai is going to separate Chatos, so too a Yediyah Safek is going to separate Hashem Talui. Now remember, for Hashem Talui, by definition, it's a Yediyah Safek, right? Because that's the whole idea behind Hashem Talui. I may have done the Isser. So the Yediyah can't exceed the knowledge that we have. The knowledge that we have is maybe. So the idea is the maybe. Right? Hey, do you know that you may have eaten a chalev? Okay. But that's as far as the comparison goes. But that doesn't mean that for a chatas gamor, a yediyah safik is going to be sufficient. In fact, it's not going to be sufficient. You're going to need a yediyah vadai. And let me read that again. Hachi ketani. Kishim shim haisalo yediyah vadai mevi chatas akol achas v'achas kach. And so what we have now is a machlokas amorayim, whether or not a yediyas suffik can divide between a definitive act of an iser kares, or I should say better, a chiyuv karban chatas. Amalei abai v'alo tizbara, the yediyas suffik mechalkos achatos, is agadach yediyas suffik ein mechalkos achatos v'chatas achas mevi. So the Gemara says, well, if you're right, then in order to divide between one chatzos and another, you need a yediyas vada and a yediyas safek, consider the following. Amai mevi Hashem Talui akol achas v'achas. V'atanya klal shodavar kol shechalukim b'chatos chalukim b'shamos. So don't we have the rule that we learned together earlier in the Masechta? By the way, twice earlier in the Masechta we've done this. That whatever divides for a chatzos is going to divide for an Hashem, meaning an Hashem Talui. And so if a yediyas Suffolk is dividing for Nashim Tali, which it will. So isn't the same Yediyah Suffolk going to divide for Nashim Chatos? So Amalei Rava, Barchan, and Labai, Yedicha, Damart, Yediyah Suffolk, Mechalkos, and Chatos. So let's say you're right, and Yediyah Suffolk does in fact divide for Chatos. Elamiata, Achel, Kezai, Chalev, Lifnei Yom Kippurim. The Kezai, Chalev, Acher Yom Kippurim. The Yom Kippurim, Mamakam, Ashim Talu, Kai. Hachinami, the Mevi, Shte, Chatos. So, Ha, Bahalam, Achas, Achinan. Why don't you consider the following circumstance? You ate chalev before Yom Kippur. You ate chalev after Yom Kippur. All in a state of halama. I know that's a long halama. It's over 24 hours. But still, under those circumstances, now what did we say regarding Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur behaves in the same manner that an Hashem Talui does. And so what we have over here is, we have Yom Kippur serving as that chiluk between before and after. And now you want to tell me that if Yom Kippur behaves the same way as an Hashem Talui in that, it's going to be basically a Yediyah Safek. So you're telling me now that it's going to divide the two actions? You're telling me that you're going to have to bring a chatos for that which you did before and a chatos for that which you did afterwards? Amalei abayi uman leimalandi yom kippurim mechaper adlo misyadale. Dilma vuhu de misyadale. So my counter argument to you is Yom Kippur only works if you become aware. If you're not aware, Yom Kippur doesn't resolve. Amalei rava hoda velo hoda tanan. Well, that's not true. Yom Kippur, as far as Safek is concerned, Yom Kippur works even for those which you know, and even for those that we don't know about. Okay, that is one version of how this debate goes, and inconclusive. Meaning, basically, we've debated whether or not a Yediyah Safek can divide between a definitive act and another definitive act of eating chalev, or any Isser Karis for that matter. Igadarmi, let's just do another version of the same discussion, and then we'll pause. Igadarmi, Amar Lei Rava Barchan La Abaye Ma Ilu Achal Kizayis Chelav Shachris B'Yom Kippurim U Kizayis Chelav B'Mincha B'Yom Kippurim. Over here in this second version, it's very similar, but we're eating the chelav on Yom Kippur itself, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Hachinami DeMechayiv Shtei Chataos. Now again, the form and function of Yom Kippur behaves like an Hashem Talui, and so basically, that Yom Kippur interim period between the two achilas is going to act like a Safek Yediyah. And you now want to tell me that it should be divided? And after Yom Kippur, the person has to bring two Kavan Chattises. Amalei Abayi, Oman, Leimaland, Yom Kippur, and Kol Shaita Mechaper. The Mekula Yom Meorta, maybe Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper every moment of the days provides Kapara, but maybe you need to go through the totality of Yom Kippur in order to receive Kapara. So Amalei, now the name over here obviously is subject to a Girsa issue, but I'll just read it as it is. Amalei Rabba Barbarchana Tarada Tanya Harishabali Ado Safik Ave Rabbi Yamakipur Mafilim Chashecha Pato Shekola Yom Mechaper. So very simply, we have a tradition. Every moment of Yom Kippur is a Mechaper. And if you have a Safik Isser that occurs even on the end of Yom Kippur, right? You're starting the Elah and you entered into a Safik Isser. So the end of Yom Kippur, any moment of Yom Kippur provides Kapara. And so the answer is, yeah. We don't need the entirety of Yom Kippur to be Mechaper, just simply a portion of the day of Yom Kippur serves as a Kapara. Okay, we'll pause over here. So, two big discussions that we...
Why do you say it to be Salad on Yom Kippur? Why isn't this just regular food?
It's a good question. I heard a possible suggestion. What's it called? It'll take a little bit of time to describe it, but okay. I'll just leave it off as right now as a really good question. Okay, let's just quickly recap. We started today the fourth parak of the Masechta, introducing ourselves to the Karban Hashem Talui, and two big discussions today. One, the Hashem Talui requirement, is that where there were two pieces in front of you, one being Isser, the other being Heter, you ate one of the two and you don't know? Or would it even be in a scenario where there was one piece in front of me, and it's a Suffolk, whether it was Chelev or Shuman, and I ate that one piece? And that is a Machlokus Amarayim, and it seems to be that the preponderance of position is that you need Shtei Chatichos. Right? And there were, Rav certainly feels that way, and there were three ways we said over Rav this morning in terms of why there's a requirement Shtei Chatichos. One, because of the Mesorah, because the way the Torah is pronounced is mitzvos. Two, and it's Efshel Avarer. And three, Nikvias Isura. Those are the three ways in which we're saying over Rav that you need Shtei Chatichos. And the Gemara went through Nafkaminas between these three ways. That was our first big discussion of today. Our second big discussion today is what's going to be Mechalik between a definitive Karban Chatzos and another definitive Karban Chatzos. A Yediyah Vadai is going to separate between the two. What about a Yediyah Safek? And right now we're in the middle of that debate in the Gemara.